It's pretty funny. Well, it's our last opportunity, so I better hear it this morning. Better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Jesus Christ is coming to town.
Amen. You get it? You understand what we're getting at here over this Christmas season? We're celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're looking ahead to what is yet to come, that He will return as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's what we celebrate. And that's really the hope, the peace of Christmas that we celebrate this morning. And as we start, I want to do a little bit of an activity with you, a little different start. But here's what I want you to do. I actually want you to close your eyes where you're at. If you're sitting in here, if you're online with us, just close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. Just close your eyes. Not nap time yet. And I'm just going to paint a picture in your mind. All right? You are in a beautiful deep sleep. And that annoying alarm goes off. Think of the most annoying alarm sound that you can think of. All right? We're starting right there. The blurriness of the morning begins to wear off, and all of a sudden you hear something coming from down the hall. It screams. It's yelling. It's pounding. So you figure you better get up. You get walking down the hall, and you open up the door at the end of the hall, and it's full of little kids. And they're jumping all over everything. Feathers, pillows, everything is flying all over the place. They're jumping on the bed. They're hanging from the ceiling fan. They're having a great time. You know it's time to be done. So you say, it's breakfast time. We got to get dressed. We got to get you dressed. Well, one of them goes shooting out the hall in their pajamas. The other one dives under the bed. You finally grab one of them, pin them down. You get them dressed. You have to do that 3 more times. Now it's breakfast. You take them downstairs. You're in the kitchen. You pour them a bowl of cereal. And before you can get back to the first one, they've already grabbed the carton of milk. And half of it's on the counter and the other half's on the floor. You clean it up. You're working on that. And as you're wiping that up, the second one finds the orange juice carton. And now you're cleaning up orange juice. You also realize that you're less than a week away from Christmas, so today is Christmas shopping day with the kids, so you have to load them up into the van, and you tell them, if you guys are good today, I'll take you to McDonald's for lunch. You finally corral them in there, you get them all buckled in, you turn on Christmas music in the hopes that it'll help, but for the next 10 minutes, all you hear is, when are we getting there? I gotta go to the bathroom. They're touching me. You finally get to the shopping area and you pull them out and you're walking in. How do you feel right now? Anybody feeling a little anxious? Let's paint a different picture. This one, you're in bed. You have that wonderful, beautiful sleep again. And you just simply open your eyes. It's a beautiful day. The birds are chirping outside. Sun is shining. You just see the most graceful snow that is falling outside your window. You stir, you get out of bed, and you smell the aroma of your coffee maker going off. So you head downstairs. It's quiet, not a sound. You grab your coffee, you grab your breakfast, and you sit down on the couch. You pull out a book or your Bible, and as the snow falls, you sip and you read, and you have nothing else to do. Which picture do you like better? Probably the second one, right? You can open your eyes. You know, one of the things, I don't know if you look around at Christmas decorations much, but one of the things that you see a lot is the word peace. You know, as we talk about Christmas, we talk about the candles, we've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about expectation, you know, all of these things. But if you look at decorations around Christmas, peace is one of those ones that you see on the pillows that get thrown or the pictures and things like that. And really, Christmas seems to be the one time where we kind of struggle to find peace because of all of the busyness, all of the craziness that is going on. But yet, Christmas is about peace. A lot of times we consider peace being freedom from disturbance or tranquility. Another way of putting it is a state or a period in which there is no war or the war has ended. We see that as peace. But as we look at peace in scriptures, one of the things that we refer to often is shalom or wholeness. And that's what we're talking about when we come to Christmas and when we look at what this means for us, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the one who brings us everlasting peace. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about different things and you've seen different characters. And maybe this morning you're going, why Herod? You know, the shepherds, we could get that, you know, the joy of the shepherds. We can understand Mary and her hope that she had and the expectation of Simeon. All, I mean, we can get that. That's the fun part. But Herod, this was a cruel guy. I mean, he looked really mean on there, didn't he? Well, this week we're looking at Herod because sometimes we get a better picture when we see how it was missed rather than how it was seen. And what we can take through the story of Herod is, what are the things that we in our lives, what we can do, what are some principles to finding peace in a very tumultuous time, in a difficult time, filled with anxiety. And so we're going to look at that. If you take your Bibles, the story, we find it in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, on your devices, or you can grab one of the Bibles out of the seat in front of you. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping the great and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, one of the things that we see with Herod is Herod was a guy that struggled to find peace. As a matter of fact, one of the things history tells us that Herod was a very difficult, very mean, overbearing ruler. And he was always in fear of his throne. And actually, history tells us that he killed family members because he thought that they were scheming to try to take him. So he killed his sons because he didn't want them to take the throne. And even though in reality he understood, eventually I'm going to die, but he was so worried about the moment, about the here and now, about what was happening on that day, that he had his own family killed, and even in the midst of that, still could never find peace. So the question has to be raised as to why was he unable to find peace, and what can we see through this that can apply to our lives to where we can enjoy living in that peace, that shalom peace, fullness, wholeness in Christ. Well, as we look at Herod, one of the things that we see is that Herod was not prepared for what was to come. To understand peace, we need to know what is coming. Know what is going to be happening down the road. It's interesting because in this story, it says in verse 3 that Herod was disturbed when he heard the message. Why was he disturbed? Well, because he didn't know about the message. Now, this is what's the fun. You heard in King Herod's monologue in the beginning, and as we read in here, we see that the Magi come because they had been watching for the star. And they came, and they come to Herod, and they say, "Where is this one who is called the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east." Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that at another time, probably Christmas Eve. We're going to talk a little bit about the Magi. But they came and they said, "Look, we've been watching for this. We saw this happen." And Herod was going, "I didn't know anything about this." However, in verse 5 and 6, Herod goes to his own wise men, to his own teachers of the law and the Jewish leaders, and he says, "Hey, what's this about a king that I hear?" And he said, he's like, "What is this about?" And they said, Oh yeah, this is what the prophet says. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet wrote." This is what the prophet wrote. And so here's what was to come. So even his own guys are sitting there going, "Oh yeah, you know, if we'd have been watching, we would have known about it." But Herod was not watching for what was to come. Now understand that this is not some kind of a tarot card, crystal ball, magic eight ball kind of thing where we're trying to figure out what tomorrow has in store. This is not understanding that future. But knowing what is to come for us as followers of Christ is something that's important. We celebrate the coming of Christ as the child. But understand that we celebrate him as the coming king. And that's what we see in 1 Peter verses 4 through 7. This is what is coming. It says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray." Now it's interesting because this very statement for some will bring incredible peace and for others will bring incredible anxiety. But for those of us who follow Christ, who know Christ, this is something that should bring us immense peace and wholeness because we don't live for today, we live for all of eternity. As we consider peace, it is that wholeness, the fullness. And when we realize that Christ is coming, he wins in the end. And because he wins, we as his children, as his heirs, we win as well. And all that has been a part of this life, all the difficulty is gone. You know, the process oftentimes is hard, isn't it? But oftentimes when we look at the process in light of the end result, it makes all the difference in the world. I have never given birth to a child. Kind of obvious. But I was there for all three of our daughters' birth. And I can tell you that the process of childbirth was not an enjoyable process. I know it wasn't for my wife. But I can tell you that the end result, when we held the child in our hand, made the whole process a whole different thing. And what was interesting is as we had our second and third daughter, even the process, which in the first one was like really scary, became much more at peace because we knew what was coming in the end. We knew that we would be holding a healthy baby daughter. And that was all that we needed to know. So when we look at this idea of Christ coming back, we understand that the process may be hard, but in the end, it is so great. Matthew 24, 36 through 42, Jesus says these words, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Folks, He's coming. Peace is found in the understanding that the King is coming back. And we can live in the moment, we can live in the dot, because we have a glorious outcome when He returns for those who love Him. So to understand peace, we need to know what's coming. The second part of it is to gain peace in this life, we must submit to His rule, His lordship. This is where we see really Herod struggled with this one, because there was no way that Herod was willing to submit to anyone other than himself. He was the top dog. No one would ever be over him. He was his own God. And what was interesting is in this story, the Magi come to him and they ask, "Where's this one, the king of the Jews?" And it bothers him. And so he devises this plan and he says, "I tell you what, why don't you guys go find this child and then come back to me and tell me where he is so that I may go worship him." And all the time, what he was saying is, "I'm going to eliminate the competition. They think this guy is the king. He won't be for long. I'm the king. No one is over me." But you look at the Magi in this story. Herod wanted to kill him. The Magi, now I don't want to burst any Christmas bubbles here, but they were likely not kings. Magi were the wise men, the astrologers. They were very powerful people in the land in which they came, and actually they gave information and they gave direction and consultation to the kings that they served. And so they understood what was going on here. But one of the things that it says is that they went to worship him. And I love the picture, because they came and they brought him the gifts. We sing the "We Three Kings from Orient Are Barren." That whole thing came because they brought three different gifts. Not because there was three magi or three wise men, but because of the gifts. And if we look at those gifts, those are kingly gifts. They brought gifts to honor him as a king, not just as a child. They didn't come in and say, "Hey, we're bringing you some Pampers, some milk, and some..." They said, "We're bringing you kingly gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh." And do you understand what that meant? That when they came into his presence as the king, they gave the gifts, and it says that they bowed and they worshiped him. They submitted, as a child, as a baby, they submitted to his rule and to his leadership. You see, when he came as the child, he came to establish his throne. That was the beginning of his rule and of his reign. But when he comes again, read in the book of Revelation at the end, when he comes bursting through the clouds, that picture of Jesus that you see is not one of a child. It's not one of a meek little man. It is of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will come to rule forever and forever. And we have this opportunity now to be his. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 12, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything on it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. That day will bring about destruction of heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with the heat." We get a picture of how we live gaining peace. I think we often overlook this because one of the things that we do is we like to look at God as this cosmic oppressor. But do we understand who God is, what he wants, what the desire is, and how he desires to give us peace? One of the things that we understand is that as we live our lives in submission to who he is, living holy and godly lives, pleasing to God, we begin to experience peace. Look at James 4:7. In James 4:7, he says these words, "Submit yourselves then to God, submit to his rule, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, it's interesting because as I looked at this passage, I saw the idea of peace in this passage. It doesn't say the word peace. But notice what it says. When we submit to God, we resist the devil flees. With the devil, when he flees, what goes with him? Turmoil, problems, trouble. And what is left? The peace of God. And so this is what we see and we understand, that God desires to give us this peace. He's the Prince of Peace, the Giver of Peace. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Do we get this idea that when we realize that God is the King, and that we are to submit ourselves to his rule, he will restore all things at the right time to the way in which he originally intended it to be? We can live at peace with that understanding, knowing that God has this. We need to live in submission. Herod struggled with that. Herod also struggled with being sensitive to his leading. If we want to understand peace and know peace, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I have to chuckle at this story because Herod had all the right information. He had the right people to tell him the things that he needed to hear. He had the things that really, truthfully, could have brought him peace that he couldn't find in anything else. Notice what they were saying. They were saying, this is a child, a baby. You're not going to live forever. There's going to come a time when you will die. This child is not going to be the one that is going to challenge your throne, especially if you're killing off your own family. But do you know who this is? They had all of that information, and yet he still avoided it. The Magi, they go to see the child, and then it says that, and they saw in a dream, they said that God told them, don't go back the way that you had, leave. And what's interesting to me about this is we understand, we don't know what was in the dream. There's no details other than that they were told to go a different direction. However, we do gather something here. They knew that it had to do with Herod, and they were sensitive to that leading that they got, that they went home another way. Now we see that peace was the last thing that happened because Herod, through all of this, even though they didn't come back, even though he had been told all of this stuff, Herod still had to take care of that child. He could not experience peace as long as that child was alive. But if you'd only been sensitive enough to the Spirit to go, you know what, apparently God is working against me on this one, maybe I should let it go. Everything could have been very different. I love the story of Paul. Paul was a guy who was a mover. He was a guy who got things done. I think Paul would have been a very high type A personality, type D. You know, he would have been the, let's go get the mountain for the Lord. And he would have been that kind of a guy. But one of the things that we do see about Paul was that he was always sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, we see Paul and his companions. They're on this missionary journey. And it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the borders of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of God would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. You know, I could see this being a really big frustration. You ever have those times when you're like, things just aren't going the way that I want them to go? And we get upset, right? We kind of get mad. It's like, this should be happening this way. This should be going this way. And we get upset. And here's Paul. Well, the Holy Spirit won't let us go in. So I guess we're going somewhere else. How nice is that? Could you imagine living in that way where all you had to do was just simply understand where God was moving, where the Holy Spirit was leading, and then you just kind of go, all right, let's go with it. We don't have to worry about it. Peace is found when we listen and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, verses 26 and 27, he said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything that I have said to you." Now look at the words of Jesus. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now it says he doesn't give the peace that the world gives. What's the peace that the world gives? That's that tranquility, the quietness, that, you know, the cup of coffee in a nice, beautiful, snowy morning where you got nothing that you can do. But Jesus says, it's not the peace that I'm bringing. The peace that I'm bringing is this wholeness, this idea of being Spirit-led to the place where you can have a total confidence in knowing that I am in control. We often talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And as you look at that, remember last week? Love, joy, peace. I love it. The third one there is peace. Why? Because this is what we receive through the love of God. When we experience joy in our life, He brings that peace because we are sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we want to experience peace this Christmas season, listen to the Holy Spirit. And the last one is this. Let God decide. This is probably the hardest thing for us to do, is to actually remove our hands from the situation and let God be the one to decide the outcome. You see, we are controllers by nature. We want to be in control of everything that we do. Herod was just the classic example. Notice that in his story, he had to make sure that everything was done to protect him. And he got to, God was working against him the whole time. You know, he was not prepared for this birth to come, because if he was prepared for the birth, he would have been there waiting and he would have taken care of it right away. The Magi come and he's angry. He's upset because he didn't know about this. His own wise men, his own leaders, Jewish leaders, didn't even tell him about it. They should have been watching. They didn't. And so his anger is filling up. And then when the wise men, the Magi, when they don't return back and he realizes that he has been duped by them, he gets even angrier. And so he decides, well, I'm going to take care of it. I'm not only going after one child now, I'm going after every boy that's 2 years and under just to make sure I cover the bases. He says, I will take control of this. And what's interesting about it is even though he takes control, even though he does that, Herod still was unable, till the day he died, ever experience peace, even on his deathbed. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us today, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him. And what will He do? Make your path straight. Do you know what that means? If we trust in Him, we submit to Him, we let Him lead, we let Him do what He's going to do, the outcome is His, and that outcome is going to be a path that is a path of peace. Because it's going to be His path, His path. We can take comfort in Romans 8:28, again, one that you hear many times, for we know that all things work out for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, I want to clarify this, and I often do this. Notice that this verse does not say that it will work out for what you think your good is. Sometimes we get angry at God because we're like, God, you're not working this out for my good. Here's the way that it should have been worked out, if it was for my benefit. And so we get angry with God. But notice what it says. It says, all things work out for what? The good. The good. God is always at work for the good of all of His creation, for all who love Him. We get stressed because we need to make things work out. I mean, we're in the middle of like this. This week is the crazy week, right? I mean, some of you are probably sitting here going, this is the week where I'm about to go nuts because I gotta do all the baking, I gotta do all the wrapping, gotta do all the shopping. You know, I mean, you have this list of all of the stuff you have to do, right? Guys, we don't stress this week. Let's be honest. We may be part of our wives' stress this week, but we don't stress. But moms, women, why do you have that stress? Because you want everyone to enjoy, right? You don't stress because you just have to do all of that. You don't stress because you're like, you know, I gotta bake an apple pie or I gotta throw away a fruitcake or I need to do something like that. You know, that's not why you're stressed out. You're stressed out because you want to make it a great time for everybody who is gonna be there. You don't want anyone left out. So you're making sure that every little detail is done right and done perfect. Understand that is the heart of God. And what He says is, I am working out all things. If you will simply let me decide, I will work it out for the good of all. I love how He talks to Joshua. Joshua is the guy that He chooses to lead the children of Israel. And in Joshua 1:9, He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, this isn't just a proximity thing. This isn't God just saying, you know what? I'm here. I'm cheering you on. This is God saying, do you understand that I'm going to fight the battle for you? I'm going to be the one that's going to do all this. I'm going to work all of this out in the end so that it will be my plan. And Joshua could sit there and go, this is great. You know what? We can march around the city and blow trumpets because God's going to do it. God is in control. He has it in control. Look at what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. You notice that whole thing there? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Why? Because he doesn't have to worry about a single thing. However, if I'm going to live my life saying, God, I'm in control, well, we get a pretty good picture by the story of Herod, what it looks like to miss peace. You see, Christ came, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He's the one who came to bring fullness and wholeness to those who would depend on Him. Christmas is a time that truthfully is full of anxiety. But yet it is a time when Christ came to bring peace. It wasn't the peace which is the elimination of chaos or quietness at all times. This is the peace of wholeness that He came to bring. As we live in the knowledge of the eternal, if we live in the knowledge that He is coming again, that the Christ child is coming as the Christ King, that He is coming to take us to be with Him, as we live in submission to His rule, as we live in submission to the movement and the direction of the Holy Spirit, and we simply say to God, You do it, let Your will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. As we live in those things, we begin to understand what peace in a chaotic world looks like. Let me ask you this as we close. Are you anxious today? Are you worried? Do you feel like peace is so far from you that it seems hopeless? Look to the manger. He came once. He's coming again. And remember, that's what we live for. Not for the moment. Remember what's coming. Submit to His rule. Live sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And let God do what God will do. And you will understand the peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You came as the Prince of Peace. You didn't come as an authoritarian, as a ruler that oppresses Your people. But You came as the one to give us life, and life abundantly. Lord, forgive us for the times in which we try to take control of things, and the times that we try to play God in our own lives, all the while realizing that we are evading that perfect peace that You want to give to us. And Lord, as we come to this Christmas time, as we celebrate Your birth, Lord, remind us of all that that entails. Remind us that You are coming again and that You are at work even now. Lord, we hear the message of the angels. A Savior has been born. May we live that way as well. In Your name we pray. Amen.